Good morning and greetings, you pruny-fingered bodhisattvas. Soaking and soaking and soaking. Your bodies each shining brightly. Brightly shining. Brightness shining. The skin of what was sloughed off again and again, whether the what was weeks ago, days ago, hours ago, or moments ago, that skin sloughed off, revealing the brightness again and again in the fresh being of you. I've been curious about and noticing in the mix of things the various skins we put on things, so to speak, our concepts, our ideas, whatever we put containers around, expectations of ourselves or others, ideas about what's supposed to happen. Ideas and opinions about who we are or who others are or aren't. We carry these around like little containers. Or we are contained by this container we build with these ideas. The edges, the boundaries, the borders we put around things. And then noticing how here in this, the space of this work, of this practice that we're doing, those borders and edges and boundaries soften, loosen, become more permeable and porous, and even drop away. And that which we've contained inside of them is freed from our containment. So it's not necessarily that the ideas and concepts and expectations disappear. They're just no longer limited by the borders we put around them. They expand and they grow. So in one sense, the definition of them drops away. But in another sense, we forget the definition of them and then we let it show us what it is. One example that comes to mind is we may come to a session hoping for clarity. And that's the thing we've wrapped a skin around and we decided, clarity, I know what that looks like. It's clear. And it's clearly not here. But then that expansion and dropping away and becoming porous of the lines you've drawn around what clarity is, expand, loosen, go and move and move, and the territory opens up, and we begin to lose the idea of what clarity is. But then we find clarity. Yeah? But we don't call it clarity, we just know. When we free those things and ourselves of the ideas, or allow ourselves to be freed from them, then the showing up and the just-as-it-isness of things meets us. No reason to contain them, define them, try to hold on to them. And that's the power of the work in the bath. I think particularly of the cauldron of the bath when we drop in the eye of Newt, among all the other things. And then the eye of Newt that is dropped in is no longer the eye of Newt. We can pluck it out, but it's not as solid as you squish it. It squishes differently. The color may have changed. We still say, yes, this is eye of Newt, but it's not eye of Newt. Just as the water in the cauldron is no longer the water, because now it's eye of Newt as well. Or if we're making a soup and we decide to add a dash of cinnamon. Or more, maybe a big old scoop of cinnamon to liven it up. Then we go, oh, I want that cinnamon. We reach in for it. You cannot find that cinnamon. You cannot pluck it out. But when you taste the soup, you know, ah, cinnamon. And not cinnamon. So the eye of Newt and the cinnamon lose their edges and their borders and their boundaries. And they become what they truly are, mixing and mingling together. And what they are not. And I've also been thinking about the particular container or skin, edges, boundaries of this thing we've been calling Session for the past few days. We build the container of Session so that we cannot have a container of Session. And I'd propose that the reason we build such a container is because we're walking around with a bunch of containers already within us, or just outside of us, carrying them around. We bring those containers to this container. The edges of the large container and all the small containers together rub up against each other and help break things apart, loosen them up, invite the porousness and the permeability of them. So that we may then realize there really is no container. Here inside of me, individually, collectively, there is no container, no containment, and nothing contained. So now back to those pruny fingers of yours, of ours, you know. They become that way because this skin is porous, permeable. Water coming in, water going out. Yeah. I am in the milk is in me. So the interpermeability of all the containers and all of the skins and all of the edges and borders we put around things, it's always there. It is never not the case that there is interpermeability. We just experience it in different ways. So there's certain expressions we have that speak to that impermeability when it comes from the place of defining the edges and setting up the borders and the boundaries. So some of those phrases are standing in water, crying out in thirst. Or another water one, a capping phrase that I really enjoy, thrashing the waves looking for water. Or a more popular one among the wider culture, I can't see the forest because there's too many damn trees. And then this one from our liturgy that it's kind of a borderlander itself. It begins to tilt things. A foot in both of these worlds, of the defined edges and limits, and then the non-defined edges and limits. So the phrase is, walking the way, we are neither near nor far from it. Deluded, we are cut off from it by mountains and rivers. So from the place of the edges, walking the way presents an idea, but neither near or far from it undoes the idea that it just presented. How can I walk away? How can I even know if I'm there? And all that kind of stuff that when we try to define the edges and contain it and hold it, breaks our brains. And I was, I'm considering the second one as a place where a transformation begins to occur and invites us to the other side, or the same side of that interpermeability. One retreat a while ago, when I read that deluded, we are cut off from it by mountains and rivers, it was like, that's not true. Deluded, we are connected to it over mountains and rivers. We feel the distance, we feel the gaps, but that's the connection to it. So we're not cut off from it. Or I'm entertaining now, yes, we are cut off from it. Maybe we feel the pain of that, the sharpness of being cut off, or the isolation. Whatever we feel as being cut off, that is our connection to it. So it leads to that place where we don't draw the boundaries of cut it off or connected. We just sink into it. And not that the phrases to come are any more clear, that clarity we're looking for, but it seems to me when they come, before we try to grasp onto them, before we try to understand them, we go, or something goes within us, and we know, and it speaks to something. So let's see how this is. Clouds gather on North Mountain. Rain falls on South Mountain. Grandma Martha drinks wine. Grandma Lola becomes drunk. The tree limb wags. That crow in this body. And again, walking the way, we are neither near or far from it. Because there is no me, and because I feel how much there is no me. So to pick on this thing again that we've been calling Sesshin for the past kalpa, it is just as permeable as anything else. So it's never actually existed. It's all a facade, this container we built. But it's important to, again, to bring it up so that we can realize it's not really here. But there's other ways we can realize that it's not actually here, that it's constantly interpenetrating and interpermeating everything, the seshin of here and now. Part of that could be the excitement months and weeks ahead, whenever you thought, Mahasangha retreat, seshin right there. Or the dread. There's just the few days before, and oh, what am I getting myself into? There is the session. Or maybe you had a dream of retreat. Not even this one, maybe a past retreat or a nondescript, non-defined retreat. Sometime before we actually gathered. That is this retreat, this session. Always happening. Endlessly. Despite the story we tell about what we've built and what's here, it's always here. How when I will be away from this hall and be closing my eyes to drift off to sleep and start to dream, and I dream of this space right in front of me. I'm still in the hall, still right here in session, whenever that happens, whenever that illusion pops up. And then I noticed for me, the funny thing is, until I got here to do this, I didn't realize, oh, the session was already rolling in me a few weeks ahead in this really strange and particular way that had I not come here, I would not have known. And it had to do with a coworker who was moving on to something else and had requested something from Sensei. A little something that has Sensei-ness in it. And so it didn't take me long. I thought about her and moving on, and an idea came right away about a calligraphy to create in which the idea was a full moon in the sky and a body of water beneath reflecting that moon. And it just, you know, it was a very particular thing for her. But then as I created the calligraphy, I was like, oh, what else is here? There's something more. This is beyond just this person and this particular situation. And a verse came. And it also spoke to that particular situation, but as I looked, it spoke to very global type situation. And now I see that it speaks to this particular situation. And in those, they're all interpermeating one another. And so the verse is, myriad waters, each drop reflecting the same moon. Myriad waters, each drop reflecting the same moon. So here we are talking about water bodies and everything. It's like, oh, look at that. Session rolling on in a parting gift for a coworker who has no idea of the craziness that happens in this kind of world, of this particular world we're creating here. And so considering those drops of water, whether they're all collected together, forming one seamless body, each drop is still reflecting the same moon, collectively. Or if it's a splash of water up into somebody's face, all the sprays, or, you know, the ocean hitting the rocks, and all of those drops, and the ocean from which they came, reflecting the same moon. Then I just had an image of like spilling a glass of water on the floor and having these little collection of pools in no particular arrangement out here in front of me, and the bright moon above shining. And if I look down individually, I can see in each of those little pools, very small, the entire moon. And then when I sit back and look at the collection of the pools, I can still see the entire moon, a fragment here, a fragment there, a crater in that one, the edge of it here, but collectively, even when they're not all pushed together into one body of water, they are still reflecting and creating that one same moon. No, here it is. And so it's, because neither of those myriad waters or individual drops say, I have it, I have it. They interpermeate one another in their being water and in their reflecting of that moon. And again, all of the time, it is like this. Session means to touch the heart mind. We bring that in sometimes. It's not just this particular place that our heart minds are touched by other heart minds. All of the time, we are touching heart mind to heart mind of one another, of the 10,000 things, of animate and inanimate, mundane and spiritual, all the time interpenetrating, touching the heart mind. And the heart mind touched. So, despite the fact that I've said, and you've heard from others many times, there are no formulas and recipes in this practice. There's no ABC leads to D. It's open and interpenetrating, interpermeable. I would like to offer you a formula. But maybe it's not a formula. But something that the phrases have come up here, and they come up in our literature, and I think they're very powerful, and it's a very simple recipe, but it's very useful. And to make it sound like it's exotic and mysterious, we'll call it the Nonatnan recipe. But those are just English words, you'll find out in a moment. And the more simple version is, it's the naughty recipe. And we'll get to that in a moment, too. But it moves us, you know, the place of affirmation and negation that tends to be the regular duality of our world. I've been thinking about the touch of affirmation and negation. When it's affirmation, it's kind of a grasping onto touch. It's really direct and kind of solid. And if it's negation, it might be setting it down, pushing it away, and that's also pretty direct and solid, working against the affirmation. But this formula, to me, helps lead us more into the arena of the subtle touch between heart minds, existence to existence, and beyond. So the first one is to say, and I'll pick on the session again, not session, right now, not session. It begins to undo the session, the affirmation. But then we say, not session. The double negative kind of invites the affirmative back in, but it's a looser affirmative. It's invited in, but it's not the same touch as before. It gets a little looser. And then we can say, no, not session. And they begin to mix and mingle, and it becomes more subtle. Is this yes? Is this no? I don't know. And you can, no, not session. No, not. Just keep bringing that in. Things become diffuse. The interpermeability comes forward, and more readily, it seems. And I think, you could practice this at any time when you find yourself really solidly in an affirmation or in a negation. Add a no or a not or a non. So, no session. No non-session. Not no non-session. No meditation. No non-meditation. Not no non-meditation. No, not non-meditation. No bath. No non-bath. Not no non-bath. No bodhisattvas. Not no bodhisattvas. Not no bodhisattvas. And here in this particular place, at this particular time, no Joan, no non-Joan, not no non-Joan, no not no non-Joan. No you. No non you. Not no non you. In traveling this way, moment by moment, moving through, we are become Prajnatara, invited by the Indian king to teach the Dharma, recite the sutras. When she says, breathing in, I don't live in the world that my mind makes. So she doesn't say, I don't create the containers, I don't put the boxes around things and have the edges and the definitions. I don't live there. Breathing in, I don't live in the world my mind makes. Breathing out, I don't get entangled in the world of cause and effect, and all the stuff that I see happening around me, that it is happening, I'm not asking it not to happen. I'm not entangled by it, but I'm interpermeating it as it is interpermeating me. Walk along like that, walking the way right beneath your feet. There is no awakening. There is no non-awakening. There is not no non-awakening. And when you travel the way like this, your brightness shines a light that lights a path for that bright moon. In the same way that bright moon lights a path for you. And journeying onward, together, not together, not separate, like this, throughout that boundless, vast, empty sky. Just like this. This vast, empty sky. Thank you.